sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm gay. But other times I'm like, I need to be gayer.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and I'm here with, of course, you know, the usual suspects.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And this is
The Dish.
So welcome, everyone, to the show. And some of you will probably wonder if we skipped a co-host, and we can now say that no, we have not. Those here will be it going forward for the foreseeable future. Unfortunately, due to personal reasons, Paul Anthony has made a choice to no longer be a part of the show. We are certainly thankful for his contributions to the show, and we're sad to see him go, but, you know, we wish him well.
Yeah.
So, thank you. You know, it's always funny, and he's still funny, and I'm sure it won't be the last time we see of him, so.
I guess I just need to start having sex more often so that I can develop sex tips.
Well.
Work on it, girl.
Yeah, we're going to have to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to order. I just actually clicked purchase on my Bum Blaster, so hashtag thanks Amazon.
So eventually we'll get the down low on what the butt blaster is. I'm trying to reach for my cocktail.
The bum blaster. You know what the bum blaster is.
They were sharing
is.
It when we were in New York.
Yeah.
Paul brought his turkey baster. Oh, Nick, Trish shoved it up her ass.
That's right. Oh, I can't. Yeah, but you're right. Correct. Turkey baster. I remember that now. It's that little round thing. It's like a little turkey baster.
It literally is, yeah. And, you know, it's basically like an enema, but a reusable one that you can wash in the dishwasher or by hand. And you just get up there, you squirt, 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 and flush it out. So you ready to bend over and go, girl.
Yes, go.
Speaking of B,
they also call that
or
a Canadian
bend over.
Squirt gun.
B what? Or bend over.
They do.
So B or Canadian squirt gun, you would.
Who has a Canadian squirt gun?
That's another name for those turkey basters.
Oh.
For the bum blasters?
Yeah.
No, just the turkey basters.
Oh. Canadian squirt gun.
Canadian squirt gun. Ed, Ed, Nettie. Okay. People bring it back to the 90s.
I love that, you know, they're all friendly and shit, but what's up with Canada and, like, doing crazy shit? Like, they have their own bacon. They have Canadian bacon. Yeah. Why does it have to be Canadian bacon?
Because everyone picks on Canada, so it's they have to ham. Have their own things.
It's ham.
It is Canadian bacon. It is not ham.
It is literally just ham circular.
Canadian circular ham.
I don't know. It's good on my
Ex-Benny. Ex-Benny.
I don't know. It's to me, it's weird.
It's Canadian, damn it.
And now they have what? A Canadian water gun? Is that what you called
Canadian
it?
Canadian squirt gun.
Squirt gun.
I'll squirt your gun.
I really can't.
That's very inappropriate.
So let's, what, there's so much.
Wait, hold on. I was about to talk about something.
Tell me.
I was about to talk about the B.
The B.
The B.
The B.
In LGBT.
What happened?
It's Bisexual Awareness Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bisexual Awareness Week. So if you are a bisexual man or woman, make sure that you get laid by both.
Well, I think that it's important to bring up and talk about because in our community, bisexuals get a lot of grief because, you know, a good, I would honestly say, 75% of bisexuals don't come out of the closet.
They don't. No,
and they don't. And I understand why. There's it's so layered and so messed up. But I mean, a bisexual coming out of the closet, they, you know, and then having a partner, they may or may not get ridiculed for being a bisexual, therefore having a hard time staying in a positive, healthy relationship. So this week is actually really, really important. And it's really important for the bisexual community to come together with the LGBT community and come out and be strong as a group and a unit, because there are so many bisexuals out there that you would be surprised that if you said, hey, I'm bisexual, your partner may be bisexual. And it's really, really important that we talk about it. There are so many statistics about what's going on. But here, this one I thought was really interesting. So Zachary Zane, who wrote on Out Magazine. He writes for Out Magazine.
He writes a lot of good stuff.
Love him. So a recent YouGov study discovered that a third of 18 to 24-year-olds in the U.S., put themselves along the continuum of sexuality rather than in either straight or gay. So roughly 50% of them don't think themselves as 100% gay or 100% straight. So there is a huge amount of people out there that actually may be questioning or bisexual. So I think that these people should just embrace that and come out and be strong. So bisexual awareness.
Bisexual awareness.
Your flag is really kind of ugly, but love you though.
Hey, they got
a flag. We can work on that.
They got a flag.
We can work on
that. But at least they got a flag. Exactly.
That's the 50% straight side that's coming out.
I need to, meanwhile,
in Canada,
go. Your prime minister, that video.
That video was brilliant.
Yes.
Yes. Justin Trudeau was looking at his recent tweets, and he was going to comment back to them with Q. What were some of the other ones? Other than yes. Drawing a blank, but the video is on my Facebook page.
You can Prime Minister Potato Head.
Yeah, that was he's like, if the Chinese call you Mr. Potato Head, what do you call? He's like, it's Prime Minister Potato Head. Love that. But the best part of the video, you can go on my Facebook page. It's on any of our Facebook page when he says yes, yes, and you hear the guy in the background yes, and he goes yes,
and then of course they tagged me in it, and I was just like, really?
He's learning something from Trish.
Yeah,
you broke through that wall into the Trudeau land.
I thought it was brilliant to see, you know, a head of state just be so loose in you know, his personality. You can see that it just comes through, and now I understand why people are so enamored by this man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny too is I was talking to my parents actually about Obama and how, I mean, with the change of technology and with the current climate and everything, you know, all of these political figures are really turning to social media because that's where most of the youth and most of America is getting all of their information, which is not necessarily the best place. But these Prime Minister Trudeau and Obama have taken social media
President Obama.
And made it
President
something
Obama
important
actually
for them.
Made that a platform for his campaign back in 2008. He ensured that he had a very, very good platform going in from a social media standpoint because he knew that's how he was going to get that vote out there for the young
for the youngsters. Young vote. And that's so important in these elections these
crucial.
Days. You have to
crucial
is a better word than important. Very good. I appreciate
it's very
that.
Crucial because, you know, it's not going away. It's not like, oh, you know, social media is done. That we are. That's the way we're going. Most of our information nowadays we receive is through social media. So if you don't embrace that platform, you're done.
And things happen so quick now. It's all live stream and live this. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not, it's everything is instant. You have to be on top of it. And that's what he's doing. And I yes to you, girl.
Yes. I mean, just think about the impact. For example, Brad and Angelina. Brangelina, done. They're getting divorced. The moment that one article got posted, it just blew up.
Oh my God, I was sitting in a meeting and I
almost cried.
Well, I was sitting in a meeting at work. It was like probably 10:30 and I saw, I'm not going to say that I was on Facebook, but I was scrolling through something and I saw Tommy post on something that was or was not Facebook. And he was like,
was
I don't
notepad.
Know. I don't know exactly what you said, but you were like, I don't know what to do. Brad and Angelina. And so immediately I go right to Google. I'm like, what the fuck, Brad and Angelina? And I'm like, no!
Yeah, it's horrible. It's like we died. It's like the world came to an end.
What because, about all know, those kids?
No, what really, really like had me dying was some of the memes that people started immediately posting of Jennifer Aniston sort of kind of.
I know, I saw that.
Vindicated. I thought it was hysterical because, you know, they were an item and then they weren't. And then Brad and Angie got together.
They were married. Yes.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, speaking of Brad and Angelina, Trish showed me video today of this woman going up through a college campus.
Oh
my God, it made me feel so bad for the youth. And they were asking questions about, you know, who won the Civil War and videotaping this. And the people are like the one in 1965, like these youth had no idea.
The civil rights movement.
So, exactly. Yeah, and I'm like, are you serious? And going, who did we fight our independence from? Like,
who do we win our independence from?
Yeah, who
from?
Did we win our independence from?
I know. It was from Mongolia.
Yes, it was.
Good
exactly.
Job. Good job.
Yeah, good job.
It was and actually
Pennsylvania
from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. But the best point about it was like, well, not the best, the sad thing. They couldn't answer those questions. But then she switched to who's married to Brad Pitt. And I was like, oh, Angelina Jolie. And well, who's before that? And I'm like,
that's
so sad.
And what TV show is Snooki on?
Yeah.
And everybody nailed the questions. And people couldn't
that's
answer the basic questions. Who do we wear independence from? Who won the Civil War? I mean, people actually said the South won the Civil War. And some people were like, well, who was in that war?
Yeah, yeah,
well,
exactly.
To be honest with you, to be perfectly honest with you, yes, we're still a union, but in reality, no one won that war because we lost a lot of Americans.
Well, it was the deadliest war in American history.
Father against son. Brother against brother.
Whether you were a Confederate or you were part of the Union, it's like no one really won, really. We got our Union and it ended.
We secured the Union and it ended.
A lot of people.
But I'll let it be known, when I'm a fucking teacher, my students will know about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. Like, I was just blown away. I'm like, are they not teaching this shit anymore?
History is my favorite.
Me too.
I love it too.
Me too. But yes, good. We just wanted to
talk about it. I'm excited. Just so that you guys know, I'm actually in school, and I'm super excited because, you know, my history classes are coming up soon. So
exciting.
I can't wait. I really can't. But so we have some news from Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you guys know, but John Michael Gray, he was half of the duo that made the Hat Sisters, and since the 1980s they've been going to Provincetown every year, and people actually look for them, and they would wear these elaborate costumes and hats, and they were known as the Hat Sisters. And you could not go to Provincetown and say that you actually went if you didn't go to tea dance and have them walk in and see them. They were that iconic. And unfortunately, he passed away. He had an issue with cancer. And he did make it to P-Town this summer, and people did see him, and people took pictures with him, as they always did. But unfortunately, he lost his battle, and we lost him. And now his partner, because they were partners, is left by himself. So I don't think that, you know, the only thing we have at this point going forward as far as the Hat Sisters is the memory of what it was.
But he's.
I hope to God that they put together a small museum in Provincetown of all of their hats and all of their costumes.
I'm sure.
How amazing would that be?
What I would like to see is a statue erected of the both of them.
Erected?
Yes.
You would use that word.
I know.
In Town Hall, in the middle, with the most elaborate hat that they could think of, and really honor their memory, because that's how iconic these two individuals
have been. Yeah.
And they've done so much for the gay community in Boston and in Provincetown. And it's truly an end of an era. It really is.
But
I'm getting teary-eyed just talking about
it. The great thing is that his partner will not be alone. You know, being P-Town, people from across the nation, I'm sure across the world, make that, even no matter where you come from, it becomes such a tight-knit community, especially during certain weeks of the year, that he's... Fortunately, he won't be alone. Like, it's very unfortunate to lose one.
And I'm sure that he's got a fantastic support system.
Oh, of course.
You've got to. When you're you're that personable. Because actually, his partner was the shy one.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, John was more the outgoing one, and he's the one that passed away. But I'm still thinking that he will have a fantastic support group. I hope.
You know what? Yeah. I don't know if anybody listens to our show that has any influence in Provincetown, but... What should happen for next carnival is that the theme should be the Hat Sisters.
I agree. And everyone should make hats.
Everyone
Big
should
hat
wear,
party.
Yep. Everyone should make hats, wear hats, and Gay Talk 2.0 should be there at Tea Dance covering the event.
We'll have hats on. We did it for the Derby.
Fuck yeah, we will.
We did it
yeah.
for the Derby. We could top that. Oh, that's a pun. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can do that. I agree. So we have good news out.
Cheers to him.
Well, yes.
Cheers to you. And speaking of
cheersing,
unfortunately, since we're going to continue almost with like a Gay Talk obituary, we want to dedicate this cocktail to an icon, another icon that we lost yesterday, mm-hmm. Arnold Palmer, who, you know, we don't talk sports too much, but sports is very important to a lot of people on this earth.
Big
and
golfer.
He brought golf to the mainstream. Like mm-hmm. he gave golf its name. And unfortunately, he passed away yesterday. So tonight we're having a John Daly, which is a play on Arnold Palmer's dedicated cocktail, which is adding vodka to the Arnold Palmer, which consists of iced tea and lemonade. So again, we cheers to you, sir. Sleep well. You brought the world of golf together.
Cheers.
So to Arnold Palmer?
Arnold Palmer, yes.
There
Arnold
we go.
Palmer.
And to John Michael Gray.
Indeed.
May you guys rest in peace. And in other news, out of Orlando... I know that we're constantly referencing a lot of the things that went on as a result of Pulse, but
it's going to happen for a while.
The IRS has confirmed that.
We're getting a phone call.
We're getting a phone call. I wonder who this is. Let's see. You're live on Gay Talk. Hello.
Hello, this is Sarah at Consumer Services.
Oh, I can't. You know we're leaving that in, right? I just hung up on her. Yeah.
And bitch, pay your credit card.
Oh, honey, all of my credit cards at a zero balance. Thank you very much. So whatever that was
probably like, we want your feedback. You paid off everything. Can you spend more money?
No, but if that happens when Christine calls later on, oh, by the way, later on our show, we have Billboard's Dance Artist of the Decade on the show. Christine W. is going to be calling in. She's going to be having a conversation with us. I know that we've been blasting this all over social media, but it's fantastic and she's great. So anyway, we're gonna talk to her at the second half of the show. But
and let me just say, hold on before we move on. Last week, she called in. Yes,
she did.
Thinking that we were having her on last week. So there was a mix-up. We had our Pulse Survivor on last week, and she called in. And then while she was on the phone, we were like, yeah, can you send us some music so that we can plug you? If you could just send it to us really quick, we'll just plug it during this episode. She's like, yeah, no, hold on. I'll drop that in the mail right now. I'm like, girl, wait, what? You're sending us a real CD? I was asking for an MP3, but oh, that's okay.
Yeah, we got the CDs, though.
I loved that moment. Hey, I was dying.
I was like, hey, Christine, girl, we got the CDs. Thank you so much. We got the music, and we plan to use it. And but anyway, we're going to talk with her when we come back on the second half of the show. But right now, just to let you know, the IRS has confirmed that they're not going to be taxing all the money that the Orlando Victims Fund disperses out to the victims is going to be tax exempt.
That's excellent. Oh, that's amazing.
So, and I thought that was good because that helps. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when you receive a gift,
They take about half.
Yeah, you're being taxed. Yep. You're being taxed at a certain tax bracket,
right,
because
exactly.
It's a gift.
It's so great that so many organizations, whether it be federal, you know, part of the government or just private, that they're stepping forward and they're really trying to show support and help these people and encourage other groups to do just the same or individuals.
It makes you realize how much society actually cares for the LGBT, you know, community. And then, you know, you have somebody like Trump and you're like, what the fuck?
I don't even know what this man is. Listen, the debates are tonight. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will be debating
head to head.
It's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're on the West Coast, that's 3 hours before that. So that's 6 p.m. And it's 3 hours, right?
It's 3 hours after, isn't it?
No, they're before.
Oh, yeah. Germany was 6 ahead. Sorry, I'm getting in that hemisphere.
And speaking of Germany, he's leaving us for 6 weeks. I'm just completely destroyed about that.
I'll call it.
But I'm very supportive because I know it's for a good cause, and he's going to go get his education, and he's going to come back speaking German, and he's going to irritate the shit out of all of you.
Jawohl!
Yes. I'd like to give a shout-out to our listener, Dan. He wrote in. Sent us a little message, and he said, hey guys, you guys rock so hard. The art of conversation is misunderstood, so disrespected these days, and I'm nothing less than thrilled with every episode. You chat, and you're full of crap, and who cares? And I fucking love that. I thought it was great. So Dan, thank you so much for sending us that message. You know, it's people like you that, you know, keeps us doing what we do.
We're not just rambling for ourselves. So we appreciate it.
Some people would think that we are, but
let's not talk about that.
Speaking of listeners,
I picked up these donuts fresh today. Okay.
Yeah. Well, talking about donuts, do you want to address that?
That's what I was segueing into.
The iTunes.
The what?
The iTunes review.
You want me to talk about it? Want me to talk about it?
Well,
I'll talk about it. Well, actually, you know, let's talk about Richard, and then I'll let me pull up the review, and we'll talk about it. So okay. you read Richard, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So let's see. So Richard is one of our listeners. He sent in an email, and in his email, he had a concern. Richard is in a relationship, in a long distance relationship.
I actually have it right here. Do you want me to read it? You got it?
You got it?
Yeah. So Richard, he says, hey guys, I love the show and I listen to it religiously. My question is for anyone who wants to answer. I'm in a serious long distance relationship with this amazing guy. We've been dating for about a year and a half and things have been going good, normal, and can sometimes be stressful because of how far we have how far we are from one another. I live in Las Vegas and he lives in South New Jersey.
Hopefully it's not Camden.
Oh, God. He's a really good guy and I really do care for him, so I decided to move out there to be with him.
While I'm not leaving yet,
I'm still here at home saving money for the move, and I'm getting prepared to leave in about 3 or 4 months. So, sorry, but here's the actual question.
You won't need much in Camden.
My first question is, how do you guys feel about long-distance relationships? I always hear that it's crazy and that I'm in for it. But on the other hand, people say that the connection is better and it can make two people come closer and stronger than ever.
There's two sides to that, though.
Uh-huh.
So let's address that first question. Yeah. So here's what I think. If you are a loving couple and because of work takes you to separate sides of a continent, then that is a long distance relationship that is centralized in some way, shape, or form.
You have a place to come back to together.
Correct. So I think that in that sense, if your work is what's causing you to be part of a long distance relationship, yes. If it's not, then, you know, it's questionable. But then again, that's my opinion.
I can agree with that. And I can put this out there because I was in a relationship before the one I'm in now. Sorry to mention that.
Sorry, Jerry.
Out to you, Jerry. Sorry, man. So, and that was something that was a little difficult on us. It wasn't work that separated us. The person I was with was dead set in moving into southern USA. And I was dead set in moving into Canada. And we both kind of knew that, but we were kind of not touching the subject. And it was good for about 6 to 8 months of the relationship. But as we were pushing 8 months to that year, that became a really determining factor if we're going to make it or not. So that's on the personal side of it.
And I think, you know what, at the end of the day, all you can do is follow your heart. Mm-hmm. If you love this person so much and you feel that you want to make that effort and fly across a continent, or the continental United States, coming from Las Vegas or Nevada to southern New Jersey, just make sure it's not Camden.
And make sure you visit there before you just up and move there.
You know, I think that it's a beautiful thing if you guys love each other and you know for a fact that he's going to be supporting you emotionally and you guys can support each other financially and you've guys discussed all of this and you put everything on the table. Absolutely do it.
No.
You know, don't be afraid of taking a chance because you can always go back.
Yeah. And in reality, no matter what anybody says to you, everybody knows long distance relationships are impossible and they're hard. And you have to make the choice. If you love somebody enough that you're going to enter into a long distance relationship, you have to make that choice. And you've made that choice. So you're already in that relationship. Mm-hmm. You've already made the choice to move there. So now you just have to completely believe in your choice. And if you don't believe in that choice, then you need to make the choice to stay.
I wouldn't say they're impossible, though. I said they're very difficult, but I would not want to use the word impossible.
Just in summarizing the email that I read, I know that you have some concerns as far as him needing some financial assistance at the moment and that you were providing that. You've also mentioned that a couple of your friends are giving you a hard time about that and you don't know how to feel about that. And all I can tell you is, like I said, you follow your heart. If you truly know what he's about and you're comfortable with that, you know, all I can tell you is look at your friends and say, I love you, but I'm going to need you to allow me to walk this path and see where it takes me. And if mm-hmm. I make a mistake, then be there for me when I come back.
Right. Support right. me. Don't. I told you so. Right. Be there for me.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. Trust me when I tell you, when one of my friends does something wrong, I told you so. But
right. I mean, you're going to get that either way.
Exactly. I turn it off and then I say, okay, now how can I help?
Right.
And I think that if that's what you're going to have once this is over or it's not over, then it's a good thing.
Yeah. And money, you know, it's honestly, it's the root of most fights and most breakups mm-hmm. in every relationship. But at the end of the day, you as a couple balance each other with money. Right. There will be times when your partner doesn't have what he needs and there'll be times when you don't have what you need. And as a couple, you find a way through it together. And seeing as you're already doing that, I think it's honestly, it's a good thing.
We're rooting for you and I think it's going to be a good thing. And you know, just keep us posted on how it works out.
Yeah.
We would love to hear from you 4 months from now and you know, find out where you are and hopefully everything works out for you.
So what about our 3-star rating?
Well,
let me talk about it.
That donut.
Throw it out there. Quickly, right. Just read it.
Okay, so I love a good queen, but
a good queen.
I think they were referring to you.
Well, fuck off. But TBH, it's so boring after a while. It's so white gay centric. Problematic, sloppy, old, overused gay lingo. Not saying that they should be trendy, but it somehow seems dated and stale, like a day-old donut. Still sweet and satisfying, but stale and dry.
I just bought those.
Can I just say that I hope you listen every podcast, because it felt like you were like, I just want to let you know that this is how I'm feeling, but I'm still going to listen to your podcast.
Exactly. So we'll take it.
Listen.
We asked for you to reach out.
We do. And, you know, we appreciate your honesty. So yeah. Thank you. I find that hysterical, quite honestly.
But we'll keep that stuff in mind. We always read them. We read them all.
Absolutely. We do. We do. And so to this individual that sent it in, thank you. Thank you. You know, we appreciate it. Bad or good. Hey, publicity. It's publicity.
Exactly.
So listen, we're going to jump into Angels and Assholes.
Okay? Yes, Queen.
Because let me give Trish some love.
Oh, so. baby.
Oh, yes.
You're starting this one, right?
Do you want me to start it?
I do.
Okay. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to dedicate this particular episode to none other than Deonca Deidre Drayton. She was 32 years old. Her father wrote about her that she was climbing from some difficult days, and she's seen some better days, her dad said. And unfortunately, you know, as part of climbing out and being successful and trying to get better her life, she was at Pulse and she lost her life. And we would like to dedicate this episode and say, you know, may she rest in peace. And that being said,
the following senator from the state of Maine, Susan Collins, a Republican, voted no to common sense gun reform. It's worth noting that the other senator, Angus King, who is an independent, also from the state of Maine, voted yes. We'd like to thank him for his vote. For Collins' inaction, we label her
an asshole. And that's Angels and Assholes, so may she rest in peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from our break, we're going to be talking to, I'm excited, Christine W., but we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to leave you with her latest single. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Out There by Christine W.
Yes, Queen.
Walking away from all I've known, wind in my hair on this winding road.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. That was Out There by none other than the artist that we have on the phone today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the show, Christine W. Welcome, sweetheart.
Hey, how are you, darling?
We're good to be here.
Yes, queen.
Listen, we have been buzzing all week long waiting for you to just give us a call and just immerse yourself with all of us. So I'd like to... Yay. Let me introduce the people in the room. So, of course, myself, Tom, and I'm the host, and I have my co-host here with me.
Hey, it's Nick or Trish. How are you?
Hi, guys. Yeah, perfect.
It's good to be with you. This is Chris. How's it going?
Hi, Chris. Hi, baby. Good. Excellent. It's a gorgeous day in Vegas, and so it's just sunny and not so hot. It's in like 84 degrees. So,
well,
I'm just feeling pretty happy today.
Good. It's like 50 where we're at.
It's a beautiful fall day here.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Northeast. You're here with us in the Northeast now.
So it's okay.
It's a white girl pumpkin spice latte day.
Yes. So tell me, what's going on? What's new in your life?
Oh my gosh, we just did this last weekend we had the iHeartRadio and we had just a huge, ginormous music weekend. And we did the FXFS Festival, where they combined the runway shows. Like I think Tommy Bahama, Tommy Hilfiger. There was a lot of different brands over a 3-day period. They had 9 artists perform, and then fashion shows would go on in between the artists. So that was really fun. So I did Saturday. At 1:00 in the afternoon. It was just fun because there's a lot of people from the Life is Beautiful Festival there, a lot of people from iHeartRadio, and a lot of my friends from radio were in town, so that was fun. From KTU, like Steve Bartell was there, and Rob Miller.
Now, is this the same KTU, or is it an affiliate for the KTU in New York?
KTU, yeah. KTU is kind of iHeart, really. You know, it was purchased by... You know, it's under that moniker now. You know, it's all kind of one thing. So yeah, so they were there. It was fun. So I got to see everybody, and we played golf, and we went and saw the Chainsmokers over at Wet Republic. And
well, it's funny.
Great.
It's funny that you mentioned golf.
They were fun.
We usually do a signature cocktail during every drink show. As you can tell, mine is kicking in. So today, actually, Chris came up with a very, very unique cocktail in honor of someone that, you know, put golf on the map.
Yeah, you know, Arnold Palmer, unfortunately, passed away yesterday. And, you know, he had his drink named after him, like we already said to our guest, the Arnold Palmer lemonade and iced tea. But when you throw vodka in there, it's a John Daly. So we're doing that in tribute to... the late Arnold Palmer.
See, you know, you're singing to the choir here because my son's a junior golfer. So let me tell you, it's a dark day when Arnold, you know, I mean, he loved Arnold Palmer. He loves all those. He loves John Daly, too, because he wears crazy pants and he's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He came to, he is a wild man. He came to a high roller party.
Hello? Are you there?
He was I'm here.
Okay. Oh, no, you were cutting off for a little bit. We just wanted to make sure that we didn't lose you. So I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, I'm here. John Daly was at a high roller party that I played at the Paris Hotel here in Vegas. And yeah, I got to see him in 3D. He is a party animal.
Awesome. We'll get along just fine.
Oh, yeah. So, he is a crazy one.
So you have a new single out there. No pun intended. How is I mean, I'm sure that you played it at the festival, and you know how has it been? I mean,
I think it's been kind of an interesting reaction because it's what people are feeling, like walking away from All I've Known, Wind in My Hair on a Winding Road, a bag full of dreams and a heart full of hope, a checklist for love and the sold over code. If I move faster, this freedom has to lead me right into your arms. If I move faster, this freedom has to put me right where I belong. And you got to be out there. You got to be somewhere. You got to be out there somewhere. And I think that it's the message. It means so much to so many people, different people, by where they're at in their journey in life. So like some people are like, oh, I know that song. That song really touched me because it was, you know, I'm out there looking for like my real purpose and I just woke up with somebody and I'm out there trying to find out if there's like a soulmate for me, you know, or
welcome to my life.
That's Trish all the way.
Yeah. I'm out there trying to reinvent myself. I'm out there trying to stay relevant. I'm out there, you know what I mean? I'm out there looking for a job. I'm out there, you know, just that they're out, you know, people are in a very, they're going through a lot of different scenarios. It's a time of change right now for a lot of people. So I'm transition. So
I know
it's just been so interesting to see how that one message means so much to so many different people.
So I know that you yourself have had, you know, several battles that you've fought and situations that you've been through in your personal life. You had a bout with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously are in remission and fantastic. Does the lyrics for Out There reflect any type of feeling that you have as far as coming out of the other side of that fight victorious?
I think so too. I mean, yeah, I could kind of implement. Yeah, you could actually put that in there. I mean, I think all of my songs are about hope because, you know, one thing that I did realize when I was in the hospital for a year and everybody was dying around me like flies because leukemia is a really hard battle, especially AML, the type that I had. And, if you survive, most people don't survive the treatment. It's so invasive and it's so many rounds of chemo and
leukemia is
total body radiation, and it's just it's a blood disease.
Right.
It's not anything you can cut out, So, it's not like breast cancer where, if you got a lump, you can remove it, or they can take a cyst off of here or get rid of a lymph node, or, that the bad part with leukemia is it's in your blood, and it moves super fast. So, you don't really have a lot of time and you don't really have any options because if you don't have treatment, you will be dead within 6 months, no matter what. So
it
was a really tough pill to swallow, and I had two babies, I had a year old baby and I had a 2.5 year old. So, I mean, that was just the scariest thing ever. Like, who's going to raise my kids? Like, it was just, everything just came crashing down. And, irony is I was promoting an album called Stronger. So I'm out promoting the song about, being stronger, my love is stronger than your pain, stronger than your fear. And I'm getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I don't know why. And finally they figured out that I had leukemia, but it was, let me tell you, what a trauma. I couldn't even really talk about it for like the first, 6-7 years. Cause it was just so traumatic just to think about
what you went through.
Well, I can tell you one thing. We're very grateful that, the outcome that you had was a successful one, because you have, in some way, shape, or form, for the past 20 plus years, have impacted the gay community in such a positive way through your music, mm-hmm. through your personality. You're a very beautiful person just in general, from what I've been told. I've had personal friends of mine that have been
appreciate
with you. And, we're extremely appreciative, like I said, that you take the time to really engage the people that support you.
Speaking of which, as a heterosexual female, being such an iconic person in the LGBTQ community, how has that affected you? How has that made you feel throughout your career, throughout this whole process of your life?
Well, the one thing that it's given me was, it's given me a lot of, I guess, confidence, because when you know that those messages are resonating, then you have the courage to keep writing songs about survival, about hope, about all those things. And, Land of the Living was my first album. And, it's tinged with a lot of references to survival, surviving the music business, surviving, my dad. I was like 3. All my siblings and I were all under the age of 6. My dad just, died just tragically. He's only 32 years old. And my mom's a single parent with like 4 kids. We were really, really struggled. So just, but everybody struggles, but it's just kind of interesting that, that those messages of hope, you know, connected. And then, you know, also Land of the Living was also, I was watching, I definitely, part of that message was, you know, a lot of people thought they couldn't live with AIDS, you know, they wouldn't survive AIDS. And right around that time when I was writing the album, they were coming up with the different cocktails and stuff in 97. And people were finding out they could live, they could survive with AIDS, you know, it wasn't a death sentence anymore. So I just had to celebrate that, you know, and kind of weave that message in with surviving the music business and surviving, you know, a lot of hard knocks. And so I just kind of combined the two, and that's how that particular song, Land of the Living, came about. And then it's crazy because then I'm laying in the hospital. I'm like sitting there going, I can't die because, you know, I'm the one that's saying alive, alive, alive.
I can tell you one thing. Growing up as a gay guy, I would go, you know, I'd go to clubs and being uneducated, not knowing what was playing in the background. Subliminally, you were like talking to me my entire youth. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, yay.
Well, I'm actually the older of the group. And like I was saying to them, like, I remember going to the bars in 94, 95, 96. And every year you could hear Christine W. in the background. You know, like it's sort of kind of like you really like make up and like a large portion of my entire club life.
He's
like
about
every
to cry.
Time I went out there, I would dance my ass off. I can't do that right now because, you know, I'm a little heavy right now. But I used to be a little skinny twink running around, you know, the bars and dancing and jumping around and all that good stuff. And I can guarantee you at some point in time throughout the night, Christine W. was on there.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's mm-hmm. It's funny because I was promoting the show and I was talking to a couple of young kids that were sitting at my bar because I bartend. We all bartend here, actually. And so I said to them, I said, you know, you guys really should check out the show and we're going to have Christine W. come on the show. And they were like, who's that? And I'm like, huh? Are you serious? And no sooner did I say that, in the background, we have our video
monitors, yeah.
Monitors playing videos. You come on. And I turn around and I said, that's Christine W. And they're like, oh, of course, you know, they subscribed right away. But, you know, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's like a lot of people don't realize it's like the impact that you've made in our musically in our community. It's just amazing. And you are a revered artist. You do a lot of gay pride events. You are all
I
over
love them.
You mm-hmm. love them. Tell me why. What do you love about gay pride?
Well, it's a time that the community comes together. They celebrate each other. They celebrate, you know, how far they've come, how far they need to go. And then I think at that one point in the year, they realize that they can't, you know, that they need each other to grow as a community and to be, to keep the voice heard, to support each other, and then to also educate the straight community, because, you know, when I started making music and was embraced by the gay community, I mean, you didn't dare to say that you had a gay following. I mean, that was like, you're going to get pigeonholed as a gay artist. And I mean, I remember my record label guys always tell me, you need to not do all those gay press, you need to stop doing these gay events. You need, you're never going to be able to be crossed over. You're going to just be pigeonholed. You know, I just didn't even care at that point. I'm like, I don't care. I love the events. I love what they stand for. I know what they're trying to accomplish, and, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to spread love and to combat, you know, the misinformation about the gay community, you know. And I remember, you know, going to my first pride, and there were just in the South, and there was people with signs like, you're all going to burn in hell. And people are like screaming at me. Yeah, I'm going to die.
It's pretty dire.
Thing. It was, yeah, I was like, I don't know. We were in Alabama or someplace. I can't. Ugh.
Alabama.
Nothing against Alabamans in general, but
it's
something. It was in the South there. I'm like, I want to say Alabama, but like all these people are signs like, you're all going to hell. Like, what is happening? And so it's, you know, that was.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and hello?
Oh, we're having... Oh, there she goes.
So I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, what happened, you know, what I'm going to do if Trump gets elected. And he goes to me, he's like, I'm just going to move to middle America because in middle America, everybody has guns in middle America and they're just going to, like, wage war on the coasts. I'm like, you're an asshole. Are you fucking serious? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, I was like, why?
Well, just to let you know, we are an explicit podcast, so if you feel the need to... let it out.
If you want to say fuck, say fuck.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
She's like, no, thank you.
Not really. I'm not really one that...
No. It's okay. But, you know, we get very passionate about certain topics, and Donald Trump is a very hot topic. But can I ask you, you mentioned having a lot of, you know, backlash from the record labels and saying, don't go out promoting and don't do this gay event, don't do that one, and try not to, you know, put it out there too much that you are really largely supported by the LGBT community. Did all of that conversations that you were having with these record labels drive you to start your own?
Well, I think it was a combination of events, you know. It was a snowball effect, you know, just going through. I mean, I had some really great people at the labels with me. In fact, the first person that convinced the RCA to sign me, he was Carmen Kitchtour. He was gay, and he was like such a giant supporter of me. But some of the other executives were. One in particular was not. And depending on in what positions that they get into, they can really mess up your whole experience on a label, and they can definitely change the course of how your music is promoted and what money gets distributed to promote it and et cetera. So that was one thing, the politics of music. I really got an eye-opening experience, the politics of music. Then I moved to another label, and again, a lot of politics there. Whenever somebody gets fired, it seems like everything falls apart, and you're kind of put to the side, and they try to figure out who's going to be a priority, who's not, who we spend money on, who are we not, and it just kind of became a big political ping pong game. And you know, a political quagmire. So after the Fly Again album, I was just like, if I'm going to work this hard and invest this much money into it myself, I mean, I need to do my own label because it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
You know, to just constantly be making money, music videos and, you know, some of the time and paying for my, you know, all my own, and I was paying for my own remixes from time. So I was just like, you know, I need to get
it. Hey, Kristen. Christine?
Yeah.
You're breaking up pretty bad. I can't.
Yeah, am I really?
Yeah, I can't really hear you very well. Can you move a little bit? I love you and I want to hear this. I want to hear what you're telling me, but I'm like, what is she saying right now?
Sorry, how's this better? I'm outside now.
Yeah, no, it actually sounds great
now.
Sounds
like you were in my kitchen a minute ago.
Okay.
There you are.
Hopefully cooking better than he does.
Sorry, so going back to your label, you were talking about how the politics and everything led you to move into your own label. So can you just go back a little bit?
Yeah, I just figured if I'm going to work this hard, invest my own money in my own music videos or, you know, pay for... you know, so much of my own promotional, campaigns and stuff. And I might as well just figure out how to do my own label. And I've always admired Dolly Parton. She always seems to go out there and do her own thing somehow. She just keeps it all happening, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you majored in communications, did you not?
Yeah, I did. I've got a bachelor's degree in communications and I minored in marketing. And, and I've employed a lot of people because my... In Vegas, I had my own show and I had like 18 employees and you know, I had a 5-piece band and 3 singers and I had 6 dancers and a stage manager and a sound man, and it just went on and on. Costumes.
Stage managers are the worst. No,
yeah, well, I had a really good one.
I know that's. I went to school for stage management. Awesome. I went to school for stage management. Now I'm in company management, but it was just I had to throw that in there.
He always finds a way for it.
And trust me when I tell you, he is the absolute worst in the best way.
That's true. I'm a sassy queen. Watch out.
Oh, you have to stand your ground because they'll run right over the top of you if you don't be careful. You know.
I know. When I was in school, they told me, Nick, as a stage manager, you rule with a velvet fist, and that was honestly the best thing I've ever heard. Think like the metaphor of what a velvet fist is. It's soft, but it's strong, right? And I'm like,
yeah,
I got you.
See, I'd be gluing rhinestones on my fist. Seriously, queen. So let me ask you. So you're out in Vegas, nice and warm. We're over here on the East Coast, cold. So little birdie tells me you like animals.
Oh, I love horses, and I like cats. And I have my dog right in front of me. I have a little chihuahua.
Hello, puppy,
right in front of me right now. Little teacup chihuahua.
I have 2 babies.
But yeah, no, I tend to out by the rehearsal studio. We tend to just get a lot of animals. People move or whatever, and they'll drop them off out there. Because it's by the South Point, and I know people don't want to take their dog or cat to the pound, so we get a lot of animals that float through there, and I've got a bunch of cats that are always coming around. And I'm an animal freak.
Listen, as long as they have someone to love them. I have 2 beautiful doggies that I absolutely love. Those are my babies. So I'm there with you. I am totally there with you.
Yeah, I love them.
There was actually a law passed today. We're kind of bringing the dish thing back to you. Sorry. A law was passed today in California for animals. Did you hear about that?
No.
Governor Jerry Brown of California signed into law AP 797, a law that allows people within the state to break into cars to save animals that may be at risk for overheating rather than having to wait for law enforcement.
That's a really good thing.
That's a really great law, because I've walked by cars a couple times and saw dogs panting in there, and I was about ready to bash in. I actually went into a bar one time and saw the owners of the car and said, you need to go out and get your dog out of that car now.
No, I've done that before, too.
Good for you. Good for you.
Wait, do you get to take the car, too?
She was talking.
What, honey?
You get to take the car, too?
No, you don't get.
No? So you can't just... Oh, so like if I broke into a car and said there was a dog in there, but it was just a really nice car and then I took it, it would be bad?
You're terrible.
Nick,
don't encourage Trish.
I will lock you up myself, Nick. I really would. No, but I mean, it's a great thing because, you know, a lot of people don't realize how fast things can go very dire for an animal in a locked car, especially in a situation where it's really
because they're about the Bay Area is going into their heat wave now, so it was perfect time for him to pass this law, and I commend him very much. And I figured you would love that, knowing that you're an animal lover just like we are.
Oh yeah, that makes me happy. Yay,
Callie. Okay.
Champagne on that one.
Yes.
So do you have any upcoming
good reason to celebrate?
That's right.
Absolutely. Do you have any upcoming shows that you like to talk about? Anything coming up the pike? Anything big in Vegas or anywhere else?
I'm heading to Amsterdam, and then I'm going to be at the ADE, the Amsterdam Dance Event. I'll be there in October for a week. Yeah.
No, that's great. But I'm going to be in Europe for 6 weeks, so I was wondering if I was going to be there the same time, but I won't be.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'll be there, the week of the 18th.
Well, you can come back in January. I only have a twin bed, so it's going to be a little tight, but we can make it work.
There'll be plenty of room. And he doesn't eat much. He's a skinny one, this one. Very skinny.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he is.
I have a friend that's kidding. Oh, I'm going to sing at one of my friend's weddings, too, at a reception. I'm excited to do that for her. And she's getting married in St. Petersburg. And she's a longtime friend of mine, and she's getting married, and I'm really, really happy. So I took some time off so I could get there early, rehearse with the band. And so I'm going to be like a funky, cool, shock everybody being a wedding singer.
That's awesome. That's so great to hear that you're putting yourself in such like an intimate environment, like, and doing a favor for a true friend of yours. That's great.
So you, I absolutely adore her. I'd do anything for her. So I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be performing with, I don't know, I think it's like an 8-piece band there. So we're like organizing it, going to make it all fabulous. And then I'm going to, I've been working on a new arrangement of like kind of a jazzy, bossa nova-y kind of sexy version of Could I Have This Dance? She really likes the lyrics of that Anne Marie song. So I've been working on that, trying to come up with like a really hip version of that to sing.
Nice.
So I'm going to work with the band on that for, you know, for the couples dance, because she loves those lyrics and they are really great lyrics. I was really dove into that one. My mom used to sing it in her show, so I thought it was so cool. And she was like, oh, for our dance, I think we want Anne Marie. I'm like, yeah, but we got to make it cool. We can't do like, you know, we have to like hip it up a little bit.
So I read somewhere that your mom was also an entertainer.
My mom is an amazing entertainer. Yeah, she's a 12-string guitar player. She has kind of a very much an Anne Marie style voice, like a standard, you know, type of singer. And she performed six nights a week. When my dad passed away, she couldn't, you know, she had a degree. She had like four bachelor's degrees from Whitman College, but she just couldn't find a, you know, a job that she wanted to do. Like she really wanted to be a psychologist, but she said that they would constantly hire guys that, you know, over her all the time. And she had to make money and feed you guys. So I started, just performing with my guitar and singing, and pretty soon she was playing all kinds of events, and she was playing the supper club. It's called the Owl's Nest, which is the top of a really pretty hotel on the Columbia River. And that's where she performed for like, boy, probably 16 years, maybe 18 years.
Wow.
And, so she's something else. She's Donna Lee. And so a lot of people know who she is in Eastern Washington. Well, she performed pretty much in that whole Northwest area. But yeah,
so, amazing. So you're originally funny. You're originally from Washington?
Yeah, Washington State.
And you actually won Miss Washington, did you not? You were in a beauty pageant.
Yeah, we did the Miss America pageant. We walked the runway. We did all that.
You were fierce. So
I can relate with
walking.
I can relate. You know, all the drag queens that come out and do their shows, it just reminds me of like pageants on steroids.
You know? That's so funny.
Because
you know how they do the walk and they do the whole thing. You know, it's kind of like it. You just want to like throw a tear on their head and say work.
Yes.
So let me ask you. So obviously you are amazing at dance music and you've done so much of it and so much of it has impacted the community. But what are your influences? What type of music moves you?
Jazz. I'm really a jazz freak.
I could hear it in your voice. I could hear it in your voice since you called it. I'm like, this is a jazz gal.
So, yeah, I am. And my Straight Up With The Twist album, it was really labor intensive. It took like 4 years to do it because it's like 30 tracks in all. And it's Straight Up is all live jazz sessions with the session players, the guys that play with like Carlos Santana and like jazz guys. So we cut that in L.A. and then I did With The Twist. So it's Straight Up The Twist. It's just like live recorded, you know, jazz versions, and With A Twist are electro lounge remixes. So that was really a labor of love. I literally did it for my mom and for my music, my high school music director, because I adored him, and he was always like, "You got to do something with your jazz." So I was like, "Well, I finally did it." But but I weave it into like a lot of my music, though. You can kind of hear it in a lot of my music. I weave it in there, and I'm probably going to do another jazz album. We were just talking about that yesterday. I've got a lot of ideas.
Well, I'm excited
for a new one.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you.
I feel like Elvis, though. Like I want to do like a country album, and I want to do a, you know, straight up R&B kind of album, because I can sing any style. So I really
sing the alphabet, and we'll buy it.
At yes, this point. Please.
Because you see, what I love about country music, though, is that there's stories, and you are a very personable person. So I think that you would do fantastic telling stories, and that's a lot of what country is about. It's about telling a story through music, and I think that you would do fantastic at that. You know,
I've written a lot of story songs, so I really just need to put them. You know, just record them. I have so many of them. Just need to record them all.
So is there any particular artist that you ever wanted to work with that you got an opportunity to? And how was that experience?
So I got to work with Patti LaBelle. That was a wonderful experience.
You got to work with Patti? Oh my God, yeah, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, yeah, you got to check out her Classic Moments album because her and I did a duet of Land of the Living.
Stop.
Classic. Classic Moments.
We're Patti going LaBelle. To look that up. Classic Moments by Patti LaBelle.
That bitch is fierce.
Yeah.
Oh, her vocal range is incredible. It's like, oh.
Yeah, she is.
Like, you literally have to, like, pry her mouth open and be like, okay, what's in there? Because it's not human. So
I know. It's like she's from another planet. And she just loved that song. She loves Land of Living. I guess it got her through. Her mom and her sister passed in a really short window of time. And she went through a really severe depression where, like, she could not get herself out of bed. Just couldn't get her makeup on and get it together to try to do a show. And, you know, she just couldn't get motivated. And Land of Living was the song that she played. Her assistant, Sammy, turned her on to the song, and she ended up listening to it for years to get herself pumped up. And, you know, for like 3-4 years, he said she listened to it before every show.
Wow.
Get fired up. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
That's fantastic. Can you imagine?
Yeah, then he called me and he's like, Patti wants to do this song with you on the album. I'm like, what? Like, okay, Sammy, you're kidding me right now. I thought it was a joke. Next thing I know, we're in LA recording it together.
It's one of those things that's like, oh, that's not even a question. Just say yes. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm going to be on the next plane. Don't even try to change your mind. I'm here. I'm going. Peace out, everyone.
Bye. So, I got a 2-year-old. He'll figure it out. Gotta go.
It was so Patti LaBelle, though. Like, I arrived at the studio, and she is in a mink coat.
Of course.
Like a brown mink coat. I'll never get over that. I was like, whoa.
Those are the little details that you're always going to remember, you know? It's like, so you got to record with someone that you've always wanted to record with. And then...
Yeah.
What was the feeling in that studio? I mean, how can you? If it was me, I'm sorry, I would
shit my pants.
I'd lose it.
It was pretty overwhelming. You know, she's a big personality anyway. Like, she's very, very confident, very articulate. She knows what she wants to do. She's just a very powerful presence. So, we just instantly connected because we're both very, domineering women, I guess you'd say. but we just had so much fun together, and she just was so complimentary, and she's like, she looked at me and she goes, "You are one singing heffa."
So let me ask you.
That's a compliment.
I know.
Like, oh my gosh. You are one singing heffa. I was like, okay, I will never forget this as long as I live.
So you've obviously done some covers yourself of certain songs. I know that you covered I'm Coming Out, and you did Through the Fire.
Yes.
If there, which are amazing songs, by the way, your versions of the song are just completely like fantastic. But is there a Patti LaBelle song after meeting your, this idol that you've looked up at and recording with her? Is there a song by her that you would love to take a crack at?
Well, if it wasn't so much her song, I would probably want to cover like New Attitude, just because.
I got a new attitude.
It just makes you feel, it's so empowering, but then it's just so Patti that you almost feel, it's kind of like Donna Summer. Like you almost feel like it's like you can never do it better than them. So, why try? The party, it just goes there because they're such iconic voices and such iconic productions, the music and just the energy and the everything. So you're always wondering, God, is it going to be a step down? But
You don't give yourself enough credit, girl. You got this. Yeah. You got this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably end up doing it. I want to do a whole album of covers, so I'm sure I'll end up doing it. But I think the message is really relevant, and especially if you do a brand new production on it and make it super cool, and then you know you introduce those songs to a whole new generation.
If you never heard,
that's important.
If you've never heard Tommy Ortiz sing, our host, he should be on your album with you. He'll do a cover with you. He's got a voice. I'm telling you, a voice.
Ooh, all right.
One of these days.
Oh, beautiful. I'm telling you, she's got a voice.
You probably can't understand it, but she's got a voice.
We have karaoke at the bar. We're all bartenders here. And we have karaoke. Every Sunday he comes in, and every Sunday everybody's just like, what? Did that just happen?
I get that look like, you know, it's like I have people actually walk up to me and say, are you really singing?
So many people have asked him if he's lip syncing.
Maybe in the future. Oh my God, if get to record with Christine W. My life is over. Throw me in a casket, bury me. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Yay. I'm done. I'm good. I'm done. No, but you know, I have a passion for music. I have a passion for all types of music. And I think that, you know, you strike me as someone that's very creative. I know that you write, you've produced a lot of your own stuff. You have now mm-hmm. your own record label. I mean, you are someone, you're on your A game. You know what you want. This is what I'm doing. You've worked with so many great people. I'm sure that you have a really good support system when it comes to the people that are there with you in your studio and in that environment. Where do you feel? But,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll keep going. No, go ahead, honey.
Where do you feel the most creative?
Where do I feel the most creative?
Do you feel like you're on a job interview?
I'd probably say in the show portion, you know, I'm always, I mean, of course, writing the songs, I love that. And I love co-writing with people, and I'm constantly writing songs, and constantly people will be talking and they'll say something and then I'll go, what'd you just say? And then I'll go, oh, that's a great hook. You know what I mean? And then like I'm doing that all the time. So I just annoy everyone. And my kids are, they're like, Mom, what's up with like all these, like there's poems over here, there's letters over here with lyrics and stuff. You just put everything in one spot. It's just like if I get an idea, I just like write it down, and pretty soon the whole house is covered with all these lyrics and stuff. So I love. And then like shows, it's fun to get creative, you know, and talk with, you know, Jeffrey DeVerathy. He does a lot of my costumes. And then Sean Dean does the choreography, and like the three of us can literally sit in a room and start masterminding, and the smoke starts coming out the windows. Like we'll just start, you know, how do we do something fabulous, you know, with no money? Let's see this. We can do this. Well, if we do da da da, you know. So we've come up with a lot of really great ideas, you know, on a shoestring budget, and we've done. In fact, I'm really really proud of the Out There video because that was one of those projects where we all got together and we're like, okay, much money, but if we get a really a creative director and we could do this, we could do that, da 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 da. And it just worked, you know. It's a really cool video, Out There video.
It really was. It actually really is. And, you know, it's like we played Out There during our break and before we brought you in. And I think that our listeners are going to really, really enjoy what you're doing with your music. But if you could, speak to your fans now at this point in time, what message do you have for them or even to our listeners?
Well, I'm just really grateful to my fans for, you know, supporting my music. They're super loyal and it means so much. You know, I feel like I create music for them. I create music to put good, positive messages through music out there and into people's lives because it's good medicine. It's something that you can, that helps you get through your journey, and it becomes like part of the tapestry of your whole, you know, your life. Just like you were saying, oh gosh, I just remember, you know, 95, 96, you know, dancing every night to your songs, you know, Feel What You Want, One More Try, all that kind of stuff through the late 90s. And, You know, that just means a lot to be a part of everyone's life through music. It just, it's everything I ever wanted to do. And so, you know, I just want to keep creating great songs and keep the world dancing, because there's enough heavy stuff and enough negativity that we really need to counter it with everything we have to bring some positive light, you know, bring light into the world.
And, amen.
A wonderful. Amen to
that. Hashtag be the light.
That's right. Hashtag be the light. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, we actually had.
Music is very magical.
We actually had one of the Pulse shooting survivors call into the show last week, and he's been starting this movement. It's called Hashtag Be The Light, and I think that, you know, we flew with it, and we are going to try to support him and, you know, everyone else that wants and needs something positive. So, Christine, before we wrap up the show, I want to ask you two questions. The first one is, what is a big misconception of you that people have or may have?
Misconception that I'm a drag queen. Yes. Oh my God.
Hold on. Hold on. So a follow-up question. If you were a drag queen, what would your drag name be?
Yes.
Oh God.
You're on the spot now.
Dun, dun.
I don't know. Vagina monologues. I don't know.
If you can't think of it, what's the thing? The street you were born on,
and your
the
first name of your pet.
So street.
Yeah. Oh my God. What is it? It's street you were born on.
And name a first pet.
Is it?
Name a first pet.
This mine would be Jin Dent.
Yeah.
Jin Dent. Okay.
I like it.
See, mine is, if you opposite it, mine's such like a jazz guy, Buddy Taft.
I'm Suki Sherman.
That's good.
I'm Bishop Buddy.
Exactly.
Don't even ask.
Oh,
so Bishop Buddy, the duo of Bishop Buddy and Buddy Taft.
So two episodes ago, we actually had one of our police officers, one of our friends, come on the show, and he basically said if he were to ever do drag, his drag name would be Miranda Wrights.
Perfect.
And we died. It was just perfect. So, you know, it's good to know. Good to know. Okay.
No, it's crazy how many times I'll play a club and they'll think that I'm a drag queen. It's because I'm tall and I do the hair pieces and the glamour and all that, and they'll be like, "What episode of RuPaul were you on?" And I'm like,
"None."
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Or you'll see them looking. They'll be at the lip of the stage and they'll just be looking up your skirt, like looking for the little bump, you know?
Next time you just got to look down and be like, girl, it's gone.
I'm always cracking jokes about that to everybody because, you know, I'm always in my show, I'm always making fun because I can see them, what they're doing, you know? They think I can't tell, but I've got that head tilt and then looking up, I'm like, okay, I know what you're doing. Here we go again.
I do have to say though, from the photos I've seen of you, because I've never obviously met you in person, beautiful. You are gorgeous, but two, you transform your face into whatever you want it to be. You literally have this palette that just becomes whatever you need it to be, and it's amazing. So I could kind of see where people are coming from.
Because contour, girl, contour is the key to everything. You can change your whole face.
Contour. That's right.
There is something to be learned by the drag queens.
Yeah, and I tell you, my Selena Fennell, she is a really great makeup artist. She's something else. She's just a really, and she's a great drag performer too. She's a wonderful performer. But super talented. I learned a lot about makeup from her, for sure. She did a wonderful job on that Out There video too. She beat my face into
listen, we know about beating faces. We all do. Trish does it often. Yeah. Nick doesn't wear any makeup. He's one of those butch gays, you know.
You mean Chris?
Okay.
Chris.
I wear my own little thing. Chris texts me when he came to pick me up. He's like, did you shower yet? I was like, yeah, I showered. I need about a half hour or so.
I was like, I get out of the shower, I take a piss, I'm good to go. Put like a slick back in my hair, I'm ready.
Not Nick.
Throw on a soccer jersey.
And Nick needs to roll out his makeup bag.
He goes needs to make to me, sure all the brushes. The other set. Day he goes to me, he's like, I just want to make sure your face is on before I leave my house.
That's
so true. I have to put him into my calendar to make sure I can get there. Put him a couple days ahead of time.
Yeah, pretty much. So listen, Christine, thank you from the bottom of my heart as a fan.
Oh, you're so welcome.
As a host of the show for and my co-host as well, for taking the time to really like just have a chit chat with us.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it really was.
And hopefully we can do it again.
Super fun.
When it, so
yeah,
so you got fun. You got out there where you got out there. Out there right now.
We've got out there now. We're working on the next single that'll come out in the first of the year. And then we're going to be, like I said, I'm going to Amsterdam. I'll be performing at my friend's wedding in October. So we're going to make that as fabulous as possible because there's nothing like friends. I'll tell you, we're very lucky when we have like really great close friends. So we're going to turn her wedding out and then I'm going to head to Amsterdam. And then I'm going to do Palm Springs and for Halloween, the big street party there.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
So we're going to, we're going to shoot some drone footage for the Stars footage for the Stars music video. That's the name of the next song that comes out at the beginning of the year. And there's all kinds of stuff going on, but you know, right now I can't remember everything, but that's in the immediate future.
Well, you got to let us know when you're on the East Coast because we would love to come see you live. Well, at least I would because I've never had the chance.
I've actually got a chance to see her at One Pride, but I would love to see you live as many times as I possibly can. It's
possibly
no
can.
Yay!
Seriously, but listen, and anytime you have my number now, you want to call into the show and you know, chit chat with the boys whenever you want, you're more than welcome.
Mm-hmm.
More than welcome.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Thanks for the love. I really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take the time to thank Christine W. for calling in. You guys can get her latest single out there. It's available on iTunes. There's actually a whole album with a whole bunch of cool, fantastic mixes by different DJs. Make sure that you check it out. And Christine, thank you.
Okay, I love you guys, and thanks again. And we will chat again soon.
We love you. Have a fantastic evening.
You. Thank you.
Mwah. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Christine W., an amazing, amazing, beautiful
person.
Isn't
she lovely?
I freaking love her. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I like her better than Chris.
Get fuck yourself.
So listen. So let's wrap up, boys. What do we got? Do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
I mean, I'm sure there are other things we need to talk about, but gosh, we gotta rubber this up, don't we?
We
gotta put a rubber on it. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, that was the amazing, the incomparable, none other than Christine W. Like I said before, her new single out there is available on iTunes. We'll put a link on it on our website so that you guys can access it. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. As always, week after week, you guys, our subscribers are amazing. You can hit our website, www.gaytalk20.com, and go under our contact us and send us questions, send us comments, feedback. We love them. Or you can email us
at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
And, you know, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up the show. But before we do, Chris wanted to say something because he did see something.
Yeah, I finally found it. I will say Tom has pants on right now, but there's a big old bottle. It's like a gallon-sized fucking bottle of Astroglide sitting right across from us.
You could have just
right
said
in front, like right in front of your door. No, it's Astroglide. Okay. I want to point it out there because I'm pretty sure Astroglide is vagina lube.
No.
No, are you sure? I thought it was for vag.
No, before I found Wet Platinum, Platinum Wet, I used to use Astroglide, but
that's vagina lube.
Platinum?
Okay.
Lube is lube. It doesn't matter. It's better than saliva. That's all I have
to say.
Girl,
you don't even know what lube is. You don't take it up the butt. On that note.
On that note. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.